Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
As followers of Jesus, we are called to speak the truth in love. We are to show compassion as well as conviction. We must never ever forget that all of us have sinned and that all of us struggle. And the fact that your struggle may be different from someone else's doesn't mean that you can be their judge. All of us come short.
Welcome to The Verdict, a daily radio program featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor John Monroe. For followers of Jesus Christ, every aspect of our lives, including our sexuality, must be brought under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Today on The Verdict, we're looking at the biblical perspective on important issues related to marriage and gender. Here's Pastor John Monroe with the second part of his message, titled, Jesus and the Gay Debate.
Thanks for tuning in as we continue this series on the teaching of Jesus on marriage and gender. We previously learned what Jesus taught on marriage and divorce. And last time, we began to consider Jesus and the gay debate. There are two foundational truths for those of us who are followers of Jesus Christ. First, every aspect and dimension of our lives, including our sexuality, must be brought under the lordship of Jesus. Secondly, the Bible is the inspired, inerrant Word of God and is therefore our authority in our faith and practice. So, this means that as we approach this subject, we must understand that God's plan does not evolve to accommodate secular or political or personal agendas.
Right from the beginning, wasn't it? God created Adam and Eve in this literal paradise. You've got it all, but there's just one thing. There's one tree I don't want you to eat. And the devil says, oh, listen, did God really say that? I mean, you really can be as God. You can experiment a little bit. Can you imagine what it's going to be to try that? And right from Adam and Eve, right down to you today, is that same temptation, isn't there? Particularly with our sexuality. Why don't you try that? Are you tempted to experiment with your sexuality? Are you? Who would dare to say no? You tempted? Here is the warning. To sound the warning, no, do not do that. Students, let me say, your sexuality is a beautiful gift from God. God's a good God. He's a great God. He's good. And one of the good things that God gives us is that He makes us as sexual beings. And this is a very beautiful gift, and it's a very powerful gift, but because of that, it can be misused, it can be abused, it can be exploited. That's something which is very precious, you've got to take care of. Occasionally, I've been known to buy some nice jewelry for my wife. I give it to her. I don't expect her to wear it when she goes out into the yard to dig up some dirt. No. Something which is of value, you take care of. You treat it with respect. You honor it because it's a costly, beautiful gift. And students, but in fact, all of us, remember, this is a beautiful gift. And because of that, it can be exploited. I have young students, young women, who say, remember, one stopping me right here as I was walking out one day and said, Pastor, can a Christian be a lesbian? Here was a young woman, professing follower of Jesus Christ, going through a personal difficulty, and some friend comes and puts her arm around her shoulders, and she gets comfort for that, and then someone whispers in her ear, well, that means that you're a lesbian. No, it does not. It does not. There's nothing wrong with having close friends of your own sex. God gives us them, and a woman, of course, is much better than a man, as it were, in comforting a woman. That doesn't mean you're a lesbian. But we are to understand that there are sexual predators around. There are sexual predators who seek to trap boys and young men. There are sexual predators who seek to obtain sexual gratification from girls and young women. Be warned. Be careful. Parents, I plead with you, be very careful who your children have sleepovers with. You say, well, we know the family. Be careful. Be careful what they may watch. Be careful what may go on. Do you really know what goes on in that house? I wouldn't tell you the horror stories I've heard, yes, in so-called Christian homes, through a Christian family allowing their son or their daughter to have a sleepover in someone's home and for that to be abused in a sexual way. Check out very, very carefully who your children, who your students spend time with. See, the fact is, younger and younger children in our schools are being exposed to the gay agenda. Some educators have an agenda to indoctrinate children and students that being gay is normal and acceptable. Christian parents need to be warned. This is going on in our society. Don't be naive. You need to speak up at the PTA meeting. You need to speak up at the school board meeting. You need to reassess where and how your children are being educated and carefully monitor what your children are being taught so that the communication is good. So if they're being taught some of this stuff in the school, that you can speak with them, that you can open the scriptures and tell them God's truth on this area. We need to sound a warning. Third, I want to provide a response to the views of some churches. Many churches, many denominations have bought into the homosexual and lesbian viewpoint. I've spoken with some pastors. They rejoice in this. They think this is very good. They think this is very cool. Several churches ordain practicing homosexuals and lesbians and proudly officiate at these so-called gay marriages. How sad. Churches which are called to be the pillar and support of the truth have, in a vain attempt to be cool and relevant, have compromised the standards of God. No wonder our nation is in such a mess when we have many, many churches who have really marginalized and in some cases silenced the clear teaching of Scripture on these subjects. They seem to be more concerned with being politically correct than biblically correct. Instead of being counterculture, they become a pitiful reflection of the surrounding culture. God's word is denied, it's marginalized, it's silenced sometimes. I thank God that this church is committed to the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. My view is this. If we say, as many churches do, well, that teaching on homosexuality, that's outdated. We'll look at the text next week and you can decide. It's outdated. Things have changed. The Holy Spirit has led us in another direction, as one pastor from one of these churches told me, that the truth has evolved. It's true. It is written there, but, you know, God has kind of changed over the years. God has not changed. I don't want a God who changes. How then could you depend on that God? Critical to who God is, that he is immutable. In Malachi we read, I am God, I change not. Hebrews says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do you really want an evolving God? Do you really want a God who changes? Do you really want a small God, a pathetic God, who's going to change his character and his plans and his purposes to accommodate Western civilization so that we can live the way we like? What kind of God is that? What kind of church does that stay? I'm amazed that some people continue in such churches. And so I provide a response to the views of these churches. Fourth reason I want to speak on this is to give hope to those struggling with homosexuality and lesbianism. And we as pastors, we as leaders are privileged when people who have these struggles in sexual areas, whether it's in homosexuality or lesbianism or some other struggle in their sexual lives. We are privileged as pastors, we're privileged as a church that people come here, that you come here, and that we can point you to Jesus Christ. As followers of Jesus, we are called to speak the truth in love. We are to show compassion as well as conviction. I'm aware that some professing Christians show hostility towards homosexuals and are uncaring, are harsh and obnoxious. We very, very strongly dissociate ourselves with any such behavior and attitudes. That kind of attitude against people who struggle in these areas is the very antithesis of Christianity. Our Lord Jesus Christ came to seek and to save the lost. We must never ever forget that all of us have sinned and that all of us struggle. And the fact that your struggle may be different from someone else's doesn't mean that you can be their judge. All of us come short. All of us are guilty of sinful attitudes and thoughts and deeds. I think it was Billy Graham that said how easy it is to condemn sins that you're not yourself tempted with. That's true. For some, their sins may be in this area of their sexuality, some other form of immorality. For others, the sin may be self-righteousness, covetousness, greed, pride. And we're going to read in the Gospel of Matthew in a few weeks that the Lord's great denunciation is against the hypocrisy and the self-righteousness of the Pharisees. That's a great sin. And how easy it is to excuse this sin in ourselves and to condemn those who struggle with sins that we ourselves don't. The gospel of Jesus Christ, I remind you, is a message of hope, of hope. Our world needs hope. And as I speak with people more and more, I see that many people are living without hope. They're in a black hole, as it were, and they know their lives are messed up and they're struggling. And we as the Church of Jesus Christ are not there to condemn them and to judge them, but to tell them to look up to Christ, to repent of their sin, and to cry out to Jesus Christ. This is a message of forgiveness, a message of grace, a message of hope, that Jesus Christ came to save sinners. He came to save you. I don't know what your sin is, but he came to save you, and he came to save me, the chiefest of sinners. You struggling with same-sex attractions? Struggling with heterosexual attractions? You're single, trying to live a holy life. It's difficult. You're married. You're struggling in some way, attracted to someone else's wife or husband. What are you to do? Very interesting, when Jesus comes, Mark records at the beginning of his public ministry, you know what he says? Repent and believe in the gospel. I say to everyone, repent, repent. Acknowledge your sin. Stop looking at other people. Acknowledge that you are the sinner. And as far as you're concerned in your relationship with God, you're the chiefest of sinners. And you see the sin in your own life and you repent of that. You confess that before a holy God. And then you look to Christ, the beautiful, our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, who loves you, who cares for you, who died for you. And call out to him and he will save you and he'll transform you. And you'll be able to live a life according to his purposes. Amen. Look to Christ. This is a way of life of joy, of hope, and life everlasting. Now, let me ask you to look at verse 4 of Matthew 19 as we close, to remind you that God created two sexually distinct human beings. This is so key. That God created two sexually distinct human beings. Matthew 19, verse 4. Have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female? Both male and female are created in the image of God. At creation, then, we see the equality of their sexes, both made in the image of God, but we also see their differences. We are created sexual beings. There's a clear distinction between male and female. We're equal, but we're different. This is the divine design. Male and female were created to procreate. Genesis 1, verse 28. Let me read 27, first chapter of Genesis. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it. There we have it. Obviously, same-sex relationships cannot procreate. Our sexual function has been defined by God as not as male-male, not as female-female, but as male-female. That seems so obvious it hardly needs stating, but we've to state it. And to legitimize then homosexual conduct would require a rewriting of the Genesis account and the teaching of Jesus. And so we have in our schools, at least in some schools, the utter absurdity that a teacher is not to address students as boys and girls. Think, where are we in our society? Have we lost our minds? Or teachers telling students that they can choose their own gender. And if little Johnny comes in and says, I'm now Joan, that we're to applaud this. Don't we see this as an attack on God's design? Satan for years has been attacking the family, and now he's attacking our children. God created us male and female. Heterosexual gender is a creation by God. It is God's design. And human sexuality is to be expressed only in marriage. As I said a couple of weeks ago, God's plan for marriage is a man and a woman in a monogamous, permanent union. Paul in Ephesians 5 likens the relationship of Christ and his church to the relationship of a husband and wife. How wonderful. Think of that. A same-sex union makes a mockery of that holy relationship between Christ and his church. So for followers of Jesus, all sex outside of marriage is sinful. This includes fornication, adultery, incest, homosexuality, lesbianism. Human sexuality is only to be expressed in marriage, a relationship between a man and a woman. Do you think we're wiser than God? If you choose to go your own way, as you may, it's a path of brokenness, despair, guilt, being used. And I speak to people who have gone in a path of sexual promiscuity. They end up feeling very shameful, dirty, used. You see, the devil never ever tells you the end result. The devil tempts you with the best now. You do that, it's going to be wonderful. And it is wonderful. Ah, but just for the moment. And the deeper you go into it, the less the pleasure, and the more the guilt and the shame and the feeling of being used. Follow God's design. It's a path of joy. It's a path of holiness. It's a path of wonderful security to know that you're in this marriage with this person who loves you and cares for you. This is God's design. America has been great because America has been good. But now we see, don't we, a downwards trend in this area away from God, away from his word. Edmund Burke said, evil triumphs when good men do nothing. We cannot do nothing. We must stand on God's truth, not because I like preaching on the subject, I don't. We need to stand firm, bowing to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and accepting the clear teaching of Scripture, irrespective of the strong voices accusing those who dare to disagree with the homosexual agenda as homophobic, bigoted, and prejudiced. Brothers and sisters, we must stand firm on Scripture. If we give way on this, what will we give way next? And in the midst of the moral and spiritual decline of our nation, the glorious light of Jesus Christ shines. I find some Christians are very depressed by the state of the world. What do you expect? We are called to shine as light. We're called to be the light of the world. Don't walk in the darkness. Don't go against God. Walk in the light of His life. And in Jesus Christ, there's offered to you, whoever you are, whatever you've done, His grace, His forgiveness, His love, and His mercy. That God's grace is always greater than your sin. Perhaps you're here and you've never received Christ. Will He turn you away? No. If you come humbly to Him, He knows all about you. He'll forgive your sins. He'll cleanse you. In the gospel, not only are you saved and cleansed and forgiven, but Christ comes and indwells you. So you have this new power, a power which is greater than the pool of sin, a power to live a life for the glory of God. Bow with me. We thank You, our Father, that You so loved the world that You gave Your only begotten Son. We thank You that You sent Your Son into this world, not to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. And I pray even now people are being saved, that they look to Christ, that they know He came not to judge them, not to condemn them, but to save them. And may each of us, Father, before a holy God, acknowledge our sin and turn to our Savior, we pray. And we thank You for this great hope of the gospel, that Christ lives in us, giving us that power and that blessing. May we receive this living Christ in His name. Amen.
You're listening to Pastor John Monroe, and this is The Verdict. Today, we're finishing a message titled, Jesus and the Gay Debate. And John has more to share in just a moment, so stay with us. Well, despite all the advances you could say our world has made, many people are still struggling when it comes to core questions of truth, purpose, and security in their lives. That's when we should turn to the Word of God. In God's Word, we find answers that will transform our lives and allow us to find joy and peace. To help, John has written a new booklet titled Eternal Security: Finding Certainty in a Chaotic World. Through sharing a bit of his personal testimony and a thorough examination of Scripture, John frankly discusses the questions or doubts you may have about your salvation and how you can know you are saved and eternally secure. Request your copy of this free booklet by mail or download when you visit calvarychurch.com/theverdict. You can also sign up for our monthly emails and receive personal ministry updates from John. The Verdict is a nonprofit ministry of Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. We're committed to sharing the truth of God's Word every day, everywhere we can, so that as many people as possible will hear the gospel and come to a verdict of their own. And in order to do that, we rely on the generous donations of faithful listeners like you. To give a gift today, just go to calvarychurch.com/theverdict. And now, with his closing remarks, here's Pastor John Monroe.
Well, what's your verdict? Do you bow under the Lordship of Jesus Christ? However we regard our sexuality, Christ not only died for our sins and was buried, but rose again and is alive. He's the living God, and all must submit to Him. I realize that some Christians have been very unkind to the gay community, but that is not the way of Jesus Christ. He comes in love to save us and transform us. All have sinned. Praise God for the hope of the gospel. Join me next time as we think of Jesus and LGBTQ+.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.